Welcome to BrainMachineNetwork.com.
Casualty.
Hi. What the fuck, man?
I thought you were going to say action.
This, you know, you try to run a professional podcast for the 8 listeners that listen to it.
We have 9 now.
9 listeners?
9 listeners.
I guess I really succeeded in setting up my mom's iTunes account. If I could have gotten the word iTunes out of my mouth, but that sounded like I was throwing up, maybe that joke would have been a little bit better. Jesus. I mean, what the fuck, man? This is an aggressive episode already. Hi. Welcome to TV Casualty, a room full of people that suck ass and don't care. What's up? I'm your host, Mike Abruzzi, really fucking steering this ship right into the ground. Do ships go on the ground? Who knows? God damn it. Hi.
The whole episode is you trying to do the intro.
That's the thing, is that it's not even like a funny bit anymore, because this is every week. Every week I invite a comedian over to Studio 8 Leif, and they fucking kick me in the dick while I try to introduce them professionally. Sometimes actually physically kicking me in the dick.
I know, I am sorry about that.
You know, it happens sometimes. But we have a guest here today. He's a real piece of shit asshole who's done some shit that no one cares about.
Yeah.
Oh, he's a stand-up comedian. He's a contributor to the Hard Times, and he hosts his own podcast about a different version of Dragon Ball, possibly.
Sort of.
Kind of. It's Jeremy Hammond.
Hi, thank you for having me back.
Yeah.
This is very exciting.
Yes, Jeremy is back because we did record a different episode 5 days ago, and as soon as it was finished, we didn't even have the fun time of thinking the episode was good, because as soon as it was finished, it got lost.
Didn't get lost. A file got corrupted, and my computer lost its mind.
Well, actually, we didn't lose the entire episode. We did keep only Leif's track.
Yeah. Yep.
So it
my
was
track's still there.
It was about an hour. If you guys want it, I'll email it to you. It's about an hour and a half of Leif kind of laughing. Kind of laughing.
Oh.
Yeah. And then at one point going outside and letting someone in. You know, just like good stuff. About a anime only about cum and food.
Yeah. I felt very fulfilled by the fact that that got lost.
I didn't. I actually felt upset.
Well, you at home, you won't know this, but Mike was very angry.
I was so mad.
That was, you were very upset that I made you watch this show, and I think there was no greater possible outcome for that episode than for it to have been lost and you have having watched it for nothing.
There's so many bad shows I've had to watch for a reason. And then even not as many, but a good number that I've had to watch for no reason, such as the episode being lost or the guest never being able to come on, which is great. I've just watched. Oh, why? Guys, close your eyes. Why did I do this to myself? I need some time to contemplate my life. Listen, I've begun meditating. I'm a different person now. And now I'm an angry guy who meditates.
What was Food Wars the worst show you've had to watch for this podcast so far?
No, I don't know. I mean, I hated it.
Yeah.
I hated Food Wars so much, but
it was memorable.
Yeah, I think the
you'll never forget Food Wars.
No, I think it was so insane that it was like it was on the same level as having to watch Roadies. Where it was, like, so bad,
yeah,
but kind of funny at how bad it was, unlike other shows that I just hated and didn't, and there's just, like, I just don't like the kind of show that this is.
Yeah.
Like, I just hated House of Cards. But that's just
House
because
of Cards.
It's just boring. I don't care about bills and laws.
Yeah.
And just, like, boring Washington, D.C. legalese and fucking.
Yeah, because what happens in the first episode? He kills the dog.
Kills the dog.
And then what does he do in the
rest like,
of
meets
it?
The reporter girl.
Yeah.
And not a lot.
Yeah, it's interesting. It's such a, like, otherwise thrilling show, but yeah. I cannot at all remember how it starts.
I can't wait to have Julia Clare, who did House of Cards, back on to defend her choice. Now. In the wake of these horrible sexual allegations for Kevin Spacey.
That she should have known about.
She should have known about them. We all knew. Everyone in Hollywood knew. I'm in Hollywood. We record this at Leif's house in Hollywood.
That's why he says it flying out every week.
That's why I was really mad that we lost the episode, because I had to fly out twice this week. But now I'm here in beautiful Hollywood. I don't tell any of my friends that live in L.A. I just go out there to record. Leif hasn't told anyone he has a house out here, but, you know, we spend $4,500 a week on this podcast.
That's insane. Well, luckily you make it all back.
I make it all back in our sponsors that we have.
McClure's Pickles, for example.
Yeah. McClure's Pickles. You can use it as a cup later. I'm drinking out of a pickle glass. What are you going to do?
I was thinking on the way over here, though, that in addition to being excited about the fact that the last episode was lost, which meant that you watched it for nothing, I was also very excited about the fact that I think that this week, with our two episodes now, is 100% the longest we've ever spent together.
Oh, for sure.
This is the longest we've ever spoken to one another.
Yeah. And I don't talk to people that much.
I don't either.
It's great.
I generally tend to, like, kind of just, like, float into the background of rooms.
Yeah.
And I don't know. I think it's very interesting. I was thinking about, like, we've known each other probably about 3 years now.
Yeah.
And we're always, like, I feel like this close to becoming friends.
yeah.
And then it just keeps not happening.
Yeah.
Jeremy, not worth it.
Oh, for the record, Leif is not my friend.
No, hard pass.
Leif is my business associate, and our business is failing.
I have a terrible business model.
Yeah. I mean, the fact that we're spending $4,500 a week on this podcast isn't great, but we do have one Patreon subscriber who pays us $20,000 a month.
Oh, well,
so we're still actually making money.
That's fantastic. Yeah. Who is it?
It's my father, Richard Branson.
Nice.
My father is Richard Branson. You know, I don't like to talk about it too much, but because people think I should probably be farther along in comedy now than if my father was Richard Branson, but you know, what are you going to do? I don't want to write on my father's name. I've concocted this fake Italian backstory about growing up on Long Island, but you know.
Oh my god, this is would it be shitty if I told you guys a Star Wars thing that is not plot relevant but is very funny?
I personally don't care, because I probably will not see the movie. Not that I don't like Star Wars, but I didn't see the other two that have come out in the last couple of years.
So yeah, this would be.
So I don't care. So,
well, but then again, you popped in on Dragon Ball 500 episodes in.
I mean, yeah, that's gonna happen.
And you loved it.
I mean, I could listen. If you wanna hear, I think maybe in addition to this episode, it would be a great idea to go listen to Jeremy's podcast, A Bunch of Nerds Talking About Some Nerd Shit, or whatever the name of it is.
Oh, you forgot Super. It ends with Super. It's called Nerds Talking About Nerd Shit Super.
Yeah, no, it's called Ballin' Out Super, and I watch an episode of Dragon Ball Super?
Yes.
Okay. But, yeah, I guess if you want to hear the Star Wars thing, if you don't want to hear it, fast forward long enough. And if not, I don't know. Leif, you might want to leave the room.
Well, we know
the movie came out like 12 hours ago.
Yeah, no, it is in no way okay for me to be talking about this.
Yeah, I mean, go ahead.
Well, there's
Jar Jar Binks comes back, and now
and he kills everybody.
Yeah.
All the main characters are gone, and now it's a Jar Jar Binks story.
Literally every I was like, and now he's and I could only think of the most offensive things to say, and I was just like, gotta think of something else, man. Nothing came out.
No, the thing I was going to say was that so at the end of the last movie, The Force Awakens, we leave Rey, the main character, on a planet where she's found Luke Skywalker, right? He's been in exile for years, right? Mm-hmm. And we see him with a beard, and he gives her this very empathetic look, right? And it's not a spoiler to say that they talk in the new movie. They talk, they spend some time together.
What?
But what's really funny is that this planet that he's in exile on is inhabited exclusively by space Italians.
How is that even a thing?
They're these like tiny, ugly little gremlins.
Okay, well,
with like raggy clothes.
All right.
And like their little alien language just straight up sounds like, oh, I'm making the pizza. They have like clotheslines.
It all makes sense except for the ratty clothes. Because, you know.
Well, it's a certain era of Italians.
Okay,
it's like,
okay. Oh,
it's like, our grandparents' Italians.
Okay, yeah. It's like housing projects in the Bronx Italians.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah, and there's okay. like little gremlin monsters and like, I want to go to school. You have to get an education.
God, I want to see that as like a web series now starring you and Nick Nanny.
I mean, as space Italians?
As space Italians.
I mean, I'm going to write it. Look at me, I'm in a space. Look at me, I'm in friggin' space here. I go back and forth between like a real Italian accent and like a New York Italian accent.
Yeah, well, this
like,
is
just unwaveringly.
It's 50 years later from The Last Jedi, and now the space Italians have assimilated a little bit onto their weird planet, and
yeah.
now they're talking like, hey, what the fuck is?
Hey, this friggin' Skywalker
you
guy.
You fucked up my clothesline.
You flew your damn pod racer through my clothesline.
I was trying to play stickball.
Jar Jar Binks over here rooting around in my tomato plants.
Leif, did you grow up with stickball?
No.
Leif isn't 90 years old.
I grew up playing stickball.
Why? Your childhood really fascinates me. You grew up like two towns away from me, and it sounds like a different world. Jeremy recently was at an open mic, and he did a joke about his local magic shop,
yeah.
and was shocked that no one could relate.
No, the bit is about a local Wiccan family who had a magic with a K shop, right, and also a local witch. And that was the thing that I was surprised people couldn't get on board with, was that everybody has a local witch when they grow up.
That I relate to.
Right,
no.
You have a local witch. You have an old woman on your block who everyone's scared of.
No, I think we just were racist. I think my time was, we were just scared of different races.
You didn't have an old lady on your block who, like, when you were, like, riding your bike or whatever, you'd be like, no, don't go near that. She'll put a curse on you.
No, we had two old ladies on our block, but they were just nice, and both their husbands were dead, and I would shovel their driveway when it snowed.
Mm.
That's it, really.
Huh.
Peggy and Dot.
Did you have any, like, weird supernatural beliefs when you were a kid?
No.
Nothing? You were just, like, grounded? You came out cynical.
I was born an asshole.
You came out and they slapped your ass and you were like, what am I going to cry?
Yeah. Try to break down these emotional walls, Doc. I don't think you can.
You don't have any? None?
I don't think... Supernatural? I don't think so.
Yeah, you didn't have any, like...
I didn't believe in ghosts.
You didn't believe in ghosts. You didn't believe in witches. You didn't believe in...
No, because I think they were always presented to me as, like, stories.
Right.
So I was like, well, they're stories.
But, like, when
so
you watch, like, a movie where there was, like, a neighborhood witch, you didn't, like, think, like, oh, maybe that's Mrs. Johnson down
no,
the street.
I don't think we had... The real thing is that I don't think I knew... any of my neighbors.
Oh, okay.
I think that my neighborhood was like very keep to yourself.
Yeah, well, because
no one talks to anyone.
You didn't grow up in like a very Italian community, right?
No.
Oh, that's interesting.
Yeah, it was. I just turned out like this.
Because like I know that. I always think that like we have very similar backgrounds, but that's kind of a divergent point, is that like I grew up in a very Italian community.
Yeah, and I grew up in like a Black and Hispanic town
right.
that had some white people in it.
Was it Central Islip?
Yeah.
Yeah.
So it was like, yeah, being Italian was – that's the weird thing is like growing up on Long Island, like I didn't – my town had none of the stereotypes. We didn't play lacrosse.
Mm-hmm.
I never went to a bar mitzvah or a bat mitzvah.
What?
I've never been to one in my life.
You never played Coke and Pepsi?
No. I don't even know what that is.
What?
I never...
Like, you've played Coke and Pepsi.
I didn't... Like, I peripherally knew people who happened to be Jewish,
mm-hmm.
but I didn't know, like, I didn't know, like, Jewish kids.
Have you ever done the electric slide?
Yeah, but that's just like a fun dance
like
thing.
The cha-cha step.
Yeah, I've done all that, but okay. That's, you know, you do that at a block party.
Yeah,
which we didn't have
so.
In my town.
You know, you do that. I was going to say, it's a one-person block party where you go out and you're just like, block party day, and everyone's like, no, thank you.
There was a big blackout where all the power in the Northeast went out, and someone did get shot on my block.
Ooh.
So that's, you know, that's something.
What did you do during the blackout? What was your blackout story?
Oh, during the blackout, I was actually at my friend Lisa's house in Wantagh or Levittown, and there was a bunch of us just hanging out there, and then the power went out, and we just had to stay there.
I was thinking about it. My story isn't particularly remarkable either. So you know Katie Leon, my co-host. Yeah. We met that summer. We went to camp together.
Ooh, okay.
And that was supposed to be the last day of camp, and we couldn't go say goodbye to like all our friends and shit because it was
blackout
day. It was really weird.
I stayed there. My Lisa's mom's boyfriend Lenny, he worked for LIPA, so he was like, they were like, he must have been really important because they were like, because they know they called him, they're like, you need to come in, and he's like, all right, I'll come in, but if you turn on this grid first, once the power comes back, like the one that Lisa's house was in. And he was like, all right. So then I just stayed there. Yeah, I stayed there for however long the power was out.
So that reminds me of, so there was just that hurricane that hit Florida, right?
Yeah.
And my girlfriend's uncle is this, like, crazy businessman character. And nobody totally understands what he does, but he owns a million businesses, right?
Okay.
It's those crazy.
Are they, like, successful businesses?
Yes.
Or,
okay. He's, like, super rich. He's got, like, 9 houses. One of them's in, like, the Florida Keys.
Yeah.
But so he was down in Florida during the hurricane, and he owns a restaurant down there, and it's like his fun little side project, I guess.
Yeah. You know, just a fun little side project, a full business.
Yeah.
I'm like, maybe I'll start a second podcast. I'm not gonna.
But so he's down there. He's got a restaurant down there, and the power all goes out during the hurricane. And he's like, there's all this food in the refrigerator that's going to go bad. Mm-hmm. We got to figure out how to save all this food. And so he goes to the restaurant, he grabs a bunch of bottles of liquor, and he gets back in his car, and he drives around to find the electrical company that's going around trying to fix everything, and he goes up to them, he's like, hey, I have all this liquor, do you guys want to get really drunk? And they're like, obviously, yes.
Yeah,
and
we're in Florida.
He's like, come fix my restaurant.
I worked at a restaurant, I lived in Albany for a couple of years. First of all, that's an amazing story. what a guy. But I lived in Albany for a couple of years, and I worked at a restaurant when I was there for a little bit. Peach's Cafe. I mean, I'm sure it's closed down by now. But, I mean, it actually might not be. But it sucked either way.
Not related to the Brooklyn Fried Chicken franchise.
No. No, this was just like – this was a, like, brunch, lunch, and, like, light dinner spot that was almost exclusively patronized by, like, old people.
Mm-hmm.
And – but the power went out one day in the whole strip that we worked in. So we had to go home. But we had all these – they, like, loved having all these desserts. So we had all these full cakes. And I remember they're just being like – we were, like, walking out, and they're like, please take a cake. And I was just like, can I take 2 cakes? And just, like, bring – like, showing back up at my – it was the first time I lived in an apartment.
Yeah.
And it was with Lisa, whose house I was at when the power was out. And it was, like, us and our other roommates. And – you couldn't find people that like smoking weed more than these people. they one time went to like a smoke shop and bought one of those bongs that are attached to a gas mask. Cause they're like, what bong would Mike like? And they're like, well, this one. So I remember I like walked in the front door with 2 cakes and being like, I'm home and feeling like a fucking hero.
I was like, look at this.
Look at my Oreo cake I brought you. I think in all honesty, they were like, all right, thanks for the cake. I think I mostly ate the cake.
That's funny. I almost like didn't smoke weed at all until college. And then I got like super, super into it. But like, I always think about how weird it is that like I basically learned to smoke weed on a 4-foot bong.
That's big.
Yes, that's very big.
That's quite a large bomb.
That was my casual smoke. That was like I come home from work and I'm just like, well, I'll just have a little bit to smoke before bed. Just get me right and just like take these huge rips off this gigantic bomb.
You're like smoking in the same body position as like someone trying to kill themselves with a shotgun.
Yeah, I was just Cobaining every time.
If you could light it with your toe.
Just kidding. Courtney Love will light it.
I have a theory. I think it wasn't Courtney Love. I think it was also O.J. Simpson.
I thought you were going to say Dave Grohl.
No. No, that guy, he couldn't fucking kill anyone if he tried. I don't know what that means. He definitely
could. What are you talking about?
I don't know.
He looks like such a dad now. He totally looks like he'd shoot someone for being on his property.
Yeah. Or he'd like invite him in to like write a song with him. So what's your life like? Come on.
No, you're right. He would shoot someone for dating his daughter.
Yeah.
That's the kind of dad he would be.
That's sick. Dude, I can't wait to have a daughter so I can just assault teenagers with no impunity. It's legal to hit a kid if he's trying to fuck your daughter. That can't be not true. I couldn't have made that up.
No, it's definitely true, right? Because, like, cops are the types of shitbags who, like, if they showed up at your house and they're like, why'd you shoot this teenager? And you were just like, he was trying to fuck my daughter. They'd be like, you know what? I'd shoot someone for trying to fuck my daughter, too.
Hey, lose the gun. Do us a favor. Lose the gun.
Throw it in the sewer. No one will find it.
No one goes down there. The Ninja Turtle craze is over. Kids aren't hopping in the sewer anymore.
Did you ever try to go in the sewer?
No, but one time I was at, we were at the bus stop, and this kid, John Schindler, I shouldn't probably shouldn't have said his first and last name, but...
Leif, lose the episode.
Please don't. But he, whatever, I don't care. He lived down the block from me, and there, so him and his brother, there was two sets of brothers that would come to my bus stop, and... I gotta say their full names because it's two sets of brothers. It was the Schindlers and the Ocasios. And one day...
Ocasio?
Yeah.
Is that Irish or Italian?
I couldn't tell you.
That's a deeply confusing name.
Yeah. I think it's just one of those ones, they're at Ellis Island, they're like, I don't know what you just said.
You're everything, kid. Yeah. Get out there.
But it was the weird thing because they were all four of them were in special ed classes together.
Yeah.
So they would all just fight all the time. And one day, I just walk out to the bus stop, and John Schindler is trying to shove Anthony Ocasio into the storm drain.
Oh, my God.
At the corner. And I was like, hey, man, he's not going to fit. And he was just like, well, let's see if we can try. And, you know. So that was fun. That was a good fun one.
Oh, man. Were you a special ed kid?
No. I was all in, like, honors classes. But then I didn't do any of the work.
Yeah. And
but then they just kept me in there.
Out.
And then I ended up dropping out of high school, you know, wow. Famously, as I am famous.
That's so interesting. You know, Sam Rose, maybe a month or two ago, had this whole little like mini meltdown about figuring out that he was in special ed when he was a kid.
Really?
And then Katie and I both were like, we were born in special ed.
Yeah. I
assumed everybody was in special ed. I figured everybody in comedy for sure was a special ed kid.
I feel like everyone in comedy should be deeply watched. And never have an eye off of them because they are unstable at best. But yeah, no, I was like a real underachiever.
Yeah.
Where I could have been like, oh, yeah.
Yeah.
I got in fifth grade, I got moved to a different school to be in like the gifted and talented program.
Yeah.
And I was like, oh, it's actually just going to make more people want to beat me up more. And I was right.
Was it like a BOCES thing?
No, it was just like, they took all of the smartest kids in the school district and put them in one class in one school.
Whoa.
Yeah. So then
sure sends a signal to everybody
else. Yeah, yeah. Like, hey, these kids. Easy to punch.
And also not you.
Yeah. Hey, you know how you were like, so then there ended up being like in this one school, like three levels of classes for one grade where it was like special ed classes, your like run of the mill classes. And then this one, gifted and talented class. And then everyone was like, you guys aren't so... It was always people like, you guys aren't that special. You're not that smart. And I'm just like, what do you want me to do, man? Like, what do you want me to do here? I didn't ask to be put here. They just made me.
In the spirit of the Ballin' Out Super episode you were on, I am going to point out the voice you did for that bully.
I didn't even realize what the voice I was.
That's you did kind of like a tough black guy voice.
See? Now that's on you. I assigned no race to this person.
What are you? You're gonna do the fucking?
Hey, I said. I'm just saying. You know.
You're gonna do the double reversey. Like, I think it's weird that you were thinking about.
Yeah,
that.
Yeah, 100%. Fuck off. I'm not admitting anything, man. What are you, fucking snitch on my mind? No self snitch.
Okay, so you were like a gifted student.
Yeah,
Who didn't try. You underachieved. Why did you, what caused you to drop out?
Oh, because I stopped.
I mean, aside from the obvious answer of getting into punk.
Yeah, of course. That didn't help. But it was really that my, well, like, it's funny to be like, because my parents, when I was, like, fucking up in school, they were like, you have to go to therapy and find out why you're fucking, like, why are you fucking up in school? I was like, I don't like it. And they, like, wouldn't take that as an answer.
Yeah.
They're like, no, it's because we got divorced. And I was like, no, I just don't like school. It's boring and it sucks and I hate it. But so, like, my parents got divorced, and what happened was, so my parents got divorced and my dad moved out.
Mm-hmm.
And then my mom couldn't afford the house anymore. So then my mom moved out and my dad moved back in. So then by about like 10th grade, it was just me and my dad. And my dad worked in Queens and he worked like 6 a.m. to 2 p.m. So he would be gone from the house by 4:30.
Right.
So there was no one to make me go to school.
Uh-huh.
So then I just didn't go. I would just go when I felt like it.
Yeah.
Or I would, like, you know, show up late or whatever. Like, leave early and skip classes. And
so then at some point you just formalized it, or did they kick you out?
No, I just, they were like, it was a thing where it was by about the middle of my quote unquote senior year.
Yeah.
They were like, you have so many absences, you're going to have to come back for a fifth year.
Oh boy.
And so I was just like, yeah, I'm not going to do that. And my dad was like, well, let's just sign you out of school then. And then I just got signed out of school and then didn't do anything.
Yeah.
I had to, like, find a job and just become, like, an adult quickly.
Yeah.
Like, you're, like, a weird fuck-up teenager, then you're, like, then your dad's, like, well, you got to get a job and start paying rent or, you know, go to college. And I'm, like, but I can't go to college because I didn't finish high school.
Did you ever get a GED or anything?
No. According to every job I've ever had, I graduated high school for sure.
Yeah, it's amazing. Nobody's ever checked on that.
Why would they check?
It's been, I don't know, got to be almost 10 years now since I, like, dropped out of college, basically.
Yeah.
And I've been presenting myself as having graduated from college this whole time. I've built an entire career at this point.
Yeah.
Literally nobody's ever checked on it.
No.
I've never had a diploma from them. And now I don't even lie about it anymore, because now I have, like, enough credentials behind me that I can just say, like, who cares? I know how to do the thing you need.
Yeah, yeah. Do you want me to do the thing or not? And me, I've never had a job that needed credentials. So that's pretty fun.
Yeah, it turns out that they don't check your schooling before you go into comedy.
Yeah, yeah, yeah. No one's ever been like, okay, I like this joke about eating your own cum, but what's your education level? Like, what are the layers to this joke? And I'm like, well, mostly cum. That's the big layer of the joke, and that's about it, really. But yeah. Yeah, never. I've never had a job that's good. So,
yeah.
Like, I've had jobs that, like, pay me all right, but they've never been good jobs. They've always been, like, hard to do. And I'm like, come on, I'm going to fucking...
Yeah. Have you ever thought about it?
Getting a good job?
No. Well, yeah, no. But also, like, going back to school or, like, getting a GED or something like that?
No. None of it interests me.
Yeah?
Yeah. Just, you know, I'm, like, still, like, a shitty 14-year-old. I'm like, I don't want anyone to tell me what to do. But I just, like, you know.
No, I sympathize with that a lot.
I've just never, anything I've ever wanted to do, I've never needed a college degree for.
Yeah. I realized recently that I totally have that mentality of, like, the 14-year-old, fuck off, I don't want to do this. But, like, I'm so driven by people's, like, like my perception of people's reliance on me.
Yeah. Oh, okay.
And like I know that they don't actually rely on me. Like my girlfriend does not need me to like be where I'm at in my career or whatever.
Yeah.
But like I'm so obsessed with the idea that she does that I just keep propelling myself forward.
Oh wow, yeah.
But also all the while being like, fuck this, fuck capitalism, fuck having a job. I don't give a shit about this.
Yeah, I feel almost the exact opposite. Where like I feel I have made it.
Love capitalism.
I love it. I have donated money to dismantle the DSA. Personally. I'm stomping through that rose garden.
I do not understand what the rose thing is about.
I don't fucking get it.
Do you know, Leif?
I think it's just like their logo. So then people who
have it in their Twitter bios.
Yeah.
And like... Ballin' Out has a weird cross-section of DSA people now.
That makes sense.
We are...
Yeah, like, you mean fucking dorks?
Yeah. There's an actual Twitter account called, like, DSA Anime Defense.
Jesus
Christ. And it's just this dude... It's so fun. It's my favorite Twitter account right now because it's just this dude tweeting about how, like, Nazis have appropriated anime and that communists need to take it back.
Oh,
and it's
my
fucking
God.
Sick. That dude rules.
That's unreal. I did. There was. I gotta put a pin in the other thing I was thinking of. But I did in sixth grade. Everyone for a while, which was a weird thing to be like in the. It was like 1999 or 2000. I had a lot of kids that would attack me, not like physically, but they would make fun of me because they thought I was a communist.
Yeah.
And it was like a thing where like, that's wrong.
Oh, totally. Yeah.
Yeah. Because for some reason, I know exactly why. It was because I was very into Rage Against the Machine.
Yeah. Wait, so what year, what age would this have been?
Like 12.
12. So this would have been like right around 9/11. Right?
Yeah. Pre-9/11 world.
Okay.
So I was really into Rage Against the Machine. So then I read the Communist Manifesto.
As you do, because it was in the back of Evil Empire and suggested reading.
Of course.
Yeah.
I read that, and I read a biography on Che Guevara. And
you started buying Zapatista coffee, even though you didn't drink coffee yet.
Listen, I wore the hats. I did it all. I wore the military hats, and then when I transitioned into shitty Long Island hardcore kid, I was like, I get to keep the hat. Such a specific reference, but if anyone gets it, it'll be very fun. I was like, oh, I get to still wear the hat? That's great.
I had one of those hats.
Of course, everyone had one of those.
Such a stupid hat.
Oh, it's a fine, brutal hat.
That's funny. On a related note, so 2001 would have been my first year, like, really buying into punk.
Yeah.
Right? I had kind of been, like, dipping my toe in the water for a couple of years at that point, and that was the year that I fully, because there's, like, the one year where you, like, decide. You're like,
yeah.
This is it. I'm a fucking punk now.
Yeah.
And that was the year that it happened, and I bought on Interpunk.com. I bought,
of course, of course.
shouts to Interpunk.
Yep, hell yeah.
I bought an Anti-Flag t-shirt, because they were my favorite band at that point.
That's going to happen.
And it was the one that says Anti-Flag on the front, upside down American flag. Back of it is the, like, zero equals nationalism, X equals destruction, zero X equals anti-flag. It's so lame.
Yeah.
It's unbelievably lame.
I mean, one of the lamest bands that's ever existed.
For sure.
Yeah.
First album, though? Not bad.
I don't even know if I've ever listened to them enough to have a real opinion on their music. Okay. I've just been like, oh, everything about it.
Give it a shot. Okay. First album, give it a shot.
All right.
Really good bass on it, as it were.
All right.
And I know that we are both bass boys.
Now you're speaking my language. Oh, yes, the instrument you have to try the least at in a band? Yeah, I'll play it.
Their bassist is incredible. Andy Flagg was his stage
name. No. Strike that from the record.
Anyway, so I bought this Anti-Flag shirt, and I like waited for like 3 weeks for it to ship because that's how shipping worked back then.
Yeah.
And it finally got there, and I'm like so excited. I'm like, I'm gonna fucking wear this. Everyone's gonna know what the score is with me. And then the day that it gets there and that I can put it on and wear it to school is 9/11.
Nope.
It's literally the day.
And you're like, maybe I should not wear this.
I was already at school.
Oh, God.
So I'm at school as America is burning, as people are as patriotic as they've ever been. People are freaking out, and I'm just like walking around with just this fucking upside down American flag shirt.
Jesus Christ.
They made me turn it inside out.
Of course they did.
I got called to the principal's office. They made me turn it inside out.
Well, that makes a lot of sense.
Oh my god. And on a related note to that, they had another graphic anti-flag that was the American flag sideways.
Okay. So not upside down.
Not upside down. Very important to note because it was sideways, the bars of the flag became prison bars.
No.
Okay? And there was a man behind it who's imprisoned by America. And I, when I was like 14 maybe,
I'm so upset.
I did like a reinterpretation of that where I drew Osama bin Laden behind the bars of the American flag.
Hello.
I don't know what it was supposed to mean.
Hello.
I drew it, and this year my mother brought it up to me, and she said something along the lines of, like, you were always so political. I remember that picture and thinking, he knows what's going on.
But did you?
No! I had no idea. I just knew, like, vaguely, I hate capitalism.
Yeah. Yeah. I think corporations are bad.
Yeah.
And then you're like, well, what are you going to do about it? I don't know.
Yeah, I got into crime think. The crime think thing.
Yes, I know the crime think
this
thing.
We're getting even more obscure now.
I mean, just, you don't. Listen, if you know what crime think is, I'm sorry. And if you don't know what it is, you're living a fine life.
Yeah, please consider continuing not to know what crime think is.
If you want to buy a bunch of books about why it's good to eat bagels from a dumpster.
Yeah. Or why you can cry until the revolution happens.
Yeah, then get into crime think. Why riding a bicycle is the only acceptable form of protest.
I think they literally had an essay called Crying is the Most Revolutionary Act.
Jesus Christ. Listen up. That's not true. Not crying when you want to but physically can't is the most revolutionary act.
That's interesting. The last episode, the one that was lost, I had told you a story about a band that came through that we fed this tofu scramble that we dumpstered to.
Uh-huh.
That was the Crime Think guys.
Really?
Because you remember they had that band, Zagoda?
I don't know.
They had a band called Zagoda. They had another band, and then they had one called from the Ashes or something like that.
Because there was From Ashes Rise.
It's not From Ashes Rise. So then, it's something else.
Because From Ashes Rise was pretty good.
Yeah, they were sick. Yeah. Very good band. No, it was called like From the Ashes or something like that. And
yeah.
They were a hardcore band with like a weird like noise machine that this guy would play that sounded like a vacuum.
Yeah. It's like
you ever like put your hand slightly over a vacuum and like move it around so it goes like whoosh, whoosh.
Yeah, it just sounded like that.
Yeah.
Oh god.
It was the worst band.
Yeah, they're like, "All right, what's already pretty good? Hardcore. What can we do to make it worse? I don't know. This vacuum machine? What if we make it less appealing? What if hardcore is already pretty unappealing in general?"
And they had a singer who sounded like the woman from Evanescence.
Oh god.
And she sang in Italian. So you know it's crime think.
Wait. She sang in Italian? I'm back in.
Yeah, their main hit was Dominic the Donkey.
Well, good thing, yeah.
What, did you have it already pulled up hoping that riff would come back?
I have it already queued up. Ostensibly, this will be the Christmas episode, so we have to play this song. I've been talking so much about this fucking song lately.
I know, it's ridiculous how much it's come up.
So if you didn't, for some reason, grow up inside a pot of marinara sauce on the East Coast, Dominic the Donkey is a wildly racist Italian-based Christmas song about a donkey.
I looked it up after we talked about it.
The guy wasn't Italian, right?
Well, first of all, I think he actually might have been Italian, but it was definitely done in, like, kind of bad spirit.
Yeah, like, he just wanted to, he was, like, kind
He's
of...
He's not that Italian.
Yeah, I mean, who is? No one is... Okay, so it's a song, it's a Christmas song about a donkey.
Yes.
Dominic, the Italian Christmas donkey, obviously.
Well, I like that they do, like, Dominic the Donkey... The Italian
Christmas donkey.
They have to clarify it for
they're
you.
They're like, listen, this guy didn't get hit in the head with a brick. He just talks like this because he's Italian. That's why his voice sounds so stupid.
This man is literally a dump truck.
Yeah. This is my uncle Union Union McMeatball. I don't know why it'd be Mick, because that would be make him Irish, but
I had a joke for a long time that never ended up working, because it would split between being like really good or just like wildly offensive.
Yeah.
And it involved referring to an Italian name as Guido Wappatini.
yeah, that's gonna happen sometimes.
And it was weird when it was in front of like New York audiences, everybody would be like, I don't know about that. And then every time, like, I was like, when we were in like Baltimore and DC and stuff, people love Guido Wappatini. They think it's so funny.
Well, because as we know, we live in a PC culture now.
Yeah.
And you're not allowed to say anything anymore. But
you're not even allowed to hug a woman.
Yeah, I mean, and fucking honk the boobs on the back of her.
What?
You know, you grab her back and you go honk honk, and it's like you're grabbing her boobs, but it's just her back. You know, you're not allowed to do that anymore.
You know, the Italian back boobs.
Listen, if there's one thing I know about Italian women, they got boobs on their back. But I have noticed a strong uptick in mostly, you know, in comedians. It's like you still want to make fun of a race or a culture.
Yes.
But pretty much the only, like, you can, if you're white, you can make fun of white people.
Yes.
And be like, white people are bad. You know, which is true,
yes.
I guess. You know, not really, but I think they're. This is when I start getting super racist. But I have noticed a huge uptick in Italian jokes. I'm like, what? Is this the 1950s?
Yeah. That's the weirdest thing happening in this year of comedy,
yeah.
For sure, is like the uptick in Italian jokes, the uptick in retarded people jokes.
Yes. Oh,
what's going on with
that? I don't
know.
It's crazy. Like, you just. I, you know, I have a life partner whose name is Diego Lopez, and we'll very often be sitting next to each other at a comedy show and being like, man, I guess, you know, I'm sorry for saying it on the podcast, but it's like, I guess the word retard is back.
Yeah.
I guess it's back and totally acceptable for everyone to say publicly.
Yeah, heavily back.
Yeah, that and making fun of Italians, because it's like, well, these people have a culture, but are white.
And are awful.
Yeah, I mean,
that's the thing, is it's like, whenever there's an Italian joke, there's the part of me initially that's like, hey, come on, my grandfather didn't...
Yeah.
He didn't come here from Italy to be hated. But then there's also the part of me that's like, we suck.
My great-grandfather didn't physically assault my great-grandmother on a boat. So that I can be talked to like this.
I think we are objectively the worst kind of white people. I think we can both agree
Italians?
On that. Yeah.
I think Irish is worse.
You think?
As also being part Irish, I think Irish is worse.
Hmm. What do you think, Leif?
What's your least favorite kind of white? I mean, I know my least favorite kind of white, but I won't say it.
Is it Jews?
No, it's not Jews.
I thought for sure.
No. Jews are not white.
A weird turn.
No, I just, you know, we're just getting vaguely racist against white people, which isn't possible.
Like,
so.
What is your least favorite white person?
I mean,
but
just Mike.
I mean, understandable. But honey, I can't be categorized.
What were you going to say? Russian?
I mean, yeah.
Polish?
I know. I feel like I have very few. See, this is just going to get racist. But I feel like the most people I get into like arguments with are old Eastern European people.
Yeah,
on the street.
Sure. I used to work at a park in Long Island. Do you ever go to Christopher Morley Park?
No, I don't know.
It's a shithole. You shouldn't go there.
Yeah.
It's bad. But they have an ice rink and they have a pool. Those are their two things. They've got nothing else going for them.
Oh. No, I used to go to a place that had a different ice rink, maybe, called The Rinks, R-I-N-X, because there was also tennis courts there, and I am a little bit of a Long Island stereotype, and I would play tennis.
What?
I used to play tennis because there was, I grew up in a poor neighborhood, and there was like this program in the summers that was like, get poor kids to play tennis so they don't stab each other.
Yeah.
Basically. And I played, then my mom was like one of the people who ran it. So what? I played tennis for like 7 years.
That is the most surprising thing about you.
Oh,
sure.
Trust me. There's more, but I just won't say them on microphone.
Wow. That's fascinating.
Yeah. So I was like, I was like okay at tennis, but I wasn't that great.
Yeah.
But there was like a place, it was in, I think it was in Smithtown or Hop Bog, you know.
Yeah.
this is the same town, but it was called the Rinks, and it was like an indoor ice skating rink and tennis.
Do you remember the bull statue in Smithtown?
Of course, this is just the Long Island. Okay, so there is.
Yeah, at some point, we do have to talk about Dragon Ball.
I mean, pretending you're going to talk about anime and then talking about Long Island is possibly the most Long Island thing you could do.
It's the worst kind of catfish.
Yeah, but there's a, like, I don't know, 20 foot tall. It seems like it's just like a metal statue of a bull that has a full anatomical penis on it. It has a full real life bull's penis on it.
It is, and it's the most penis that there's ever been.
There's so much penis there.
It's unbelievable.
And it is right in front of what I realized later is a strip club that my father told me that he went to.
Huh.
Called the Oasis.
Ooh.
And it looks like you would die there. It looks like someone's house that they put some neon lights in the front windows of. Oh my God. And they were like, I don't know, my wife takes her shirt off sometimes. Come have a beer. It's like barely a strip club. He's like, yeah, it's a gentleman's club. Don't look at her in the eyes.
All right. The Christopher Morley thing, and then we should probably talk about this show. So I worked at Christopher Morley Park, and during the winter I was a rink guard, which is like a lifeguard but for an ice rink. And it's really it's the dumbest job there's ever been.
So you can ice
nothing
skate.
Nothing happens. Yes, I'm very good at ice skating.
Oh, nice. I've never done it.
Really?
No, yeah, I just refused one day. I just took a stance and have never gone back.
Yeah, you don't have to.
Yeah.
I can't imagine a scenario in which you'd need to.
Oh, I'm actually trying out for Goon 3.
Oh, shit. In the new...
it's not even going right to Blu-ray. It's going right to USB stick.
So rink during the winter,
yes.
Pool during the summer, and I'm not a lifeguard because I can't swim.
Okay.
So I would work the ticket booth at the front of the pool, right? And for some reason, Christopher Morley Park was exclusively patronized during the summer by Russian people from somewhere in Queens. We never found out.
Okay. Like there was just a bus that took them directly from Queens.
It must be.
To the park. Yeah.
And so they would come in just droves all summer long.
Yeah.
And like, I don't want to say they're the worst people.
This is fun. This is where we find out who is the most racist anime fan.
It was just unbelievable the ways that these people would come to the pool would.
These people.
They would try to sneak in food. That's all they would try to do.
And oh, because you couldn't bring food in.
You can't bring food into the pool, right? It's just not something you are allowed to do. And they would go to absurd lengths to bring food into this pool. One person brought a whole watermelon in a baby carriage wrapped up in a blanket with a little hat on it.
No, the hat is unbelievable. I'm just thinking of like a child with like a... like some kind of smoked sausage in their pants, but it's like hanging out of the bottom because they're wearing swim trunks. That's like, hey, kid, you either got a weird dick or you got a fucking piece of cured meat hanging out of your pants. And either way, this doesn't feel great.
There was also one time an old guy who shit in the pool.
Yeah, that's going to happen.
That happens.
That'll happen to you. But do you have to drain the whole pool?
Yes.
Really?
Well, no. So you got to, if it's solid poop, you got to scoop it out, and then you got to get everyone out of the pool, and you got to, like, pour a whole bunch of bleach in.
Okay.
And leave it for, like, 12 hours or something like that.
Yeah.
If it's diarrhea, you have to drain the pool. But so this guy, it was a solid deuce.
Nice. Thank God. Thank God, man. You got your fiber.
And a lifeguard goes to, like, get him out of the pool, and he's like, what? What's the big deal? And the lifeguard's like, you shit in the pool. You have to come out of this pool now. And he's like, oh, come on. It's just a little shit. Like, and he takes it and he throws it at the lifeguard, like, but like playfully, not aggressively.
No!
He playfully tosses it at the lifeguard and laughs. And then they had to pull him out of the pool, but he's all greased up. So he keeps slipping out of their grasp and falling back into the pool. And he almost drowned.
No. How many gold necklaces was he wearing at the time?
Had to be at least three.
Nice. That's my kind of guy. That's unbelievable.
Okay, let's talk about Dragon Ball.
Let's talk about Dragon Ball, I guess. We have to stop being racist and
that I'm leading this podcast,
too. I'm going to be honest with you. I'm a bad host today because I just want to see how racist you get. But no, we do need to talk about Dragon Ball. So we watched, I'm going to guess what is the original Dragon Ball.
Yes. This would have been the first episode of the first series, which is Dragon Ball.
Yeah. How many series are there?
There are...
That sentence came out weird because I was like, is it series? And I was like, that's not a word.
No. There's four series, and it's Dragon Ball, Dragon Ball Z, Dragon Ball GT, and now it's Dragon Ball Super.
Okay.
And GT is now no longer part of the canon. It's being walked over by Dragon Ball Super.
What? That doesn't make any sense to
me. We were just talking about this on the podcast the other day, but it's like because GT was so bad that basically everyone was like, oh, hey, we were just joking about that one.
We were like, hey, it was a goof, we thought.
That's what GT stands for, man. It's goof time.
No. No, it doesn't. It has to stand for anything else. You could have just said Goku time.
I think it's Grand Tour is what it is, because they go on tour of the galaxy.
You're going to have to go on tour of the galaxy sometimes. So this was like, because I'm not an, I don't know if this has been apparent at all in my life. I'm not an anime guy.
Yeah.
And this one felt like what I thought an anime was.
Right.
Like, because the one we watched before this, Food Wars, the lost episode, was what I thought an anime was cranked up times 500.
Yes.
Because that one is literally like people are eating food and coming
because of it. It's like an anime in a funhouse mirror.
Yeah.
It's absurd.
It's psycho.
Highly recommend everybody go and watch that. Yeah. It's so ridiculous.
If you like anime and if you're listening to this, I hope you do not. because you are wasting your life.
But if you don't like anime and you want to reaffirm your belief that anime is ridiculous,
if you want to watch Food Wars, all you have to do is accidentally sign up for a 1 month free trial of the app Crunchyroll.
I forgot you had to do that the lost episode.
I had to sign up and give Crunchyroll trademark my credit card information so I could watch the subtitled version of Food Wars.
Did you ever manage to cancel it?
I did, but because I signed up on a Sunday and I couldn't cancel it until it wouldn't let me cancel it on Sunday because I guess no one's at Crunchyroll HQ.
Yeah.
They famously
take the weekend.
Yeah, of course. Yeah. That makes sense. You know, anime, for some reason they think anime sleeps, but it does not. so I canceled it on Monday. But yes. So if you want to watch, you're going to have to sign up for Crunchyroll.
You can do it on Hulu.
Yeah, you know
what? You can watch it dubbed on Hulu.
You can watch it dubbed on Hulu, but sometimes your roommate runs a marathon and he's on the couch watching a movie.
Well, also, I don't know if you guys at home know this, but Mike is actually an adamant subs over dubs guy.
Of course. I am a sub, personally. I'm more of a Switch, but what are you going to do? Because I like it to be authentic so I can really not have any chance to space out.
Yeah.
And really have to pay attention to this show that I hate.
Yep. It's
but
perfect.
Luckily, I got to watch the dubbed version of Dragon Ball today on my favorite website, www.cartooncrazy.net. You know how when you want to watch something Japanese, you want to also think of World War II? Then go to www.cartooncrazy.net. And for a while, this website won't work. And you just have to keep refreshing it until eventually it kind of works.
How long did it take you to watch the episode?
It took, once I got it going, it was fine.
Okay.
But I had to refresh and open the page like 4 or 5 times. It also might be the fact that I'm using a 4-year-old Asus laptop that didn't work well when I got it new out of the box.
Yeah.
But that's, you know what? I'm going to blame www.cartooncrazy.net.
You're probably right, too.
Yeah. But so I watched Dragon Ball Episode 1, which there were about 150 episodes on there.
So I was going to – I pulled up on my phone because I did the math. You have watched now the first episode – and the 466th episode
of the Dragon Ball universe.
Yes.
But does that take into account that Dragon Ball GT is not canon anymore?
Yes.
Oh, okay.
Because now that's no longer part of the timeline. So you've seen where it all begins and then where it is 466 episodes in.
Yeah.
I cannot remember which episode we watched with you, though. Do you remember anything from that?
I don't. There was some kind of alien flying around in a little spaceship, I think.
Mm-hmm.
People seem to be in another galaxy waking up from some kind of hypersleep and flying back. I don't remember.
Huh. Well, in any event,
yeah,
they're in space.
I did black it out. So is Dragon Ball is not Earth?
No, it is Earth.
It's Earth.
Yes, it's Earth, and it's sort of like an altered Japan.
Okay.
It's because you saw in this episode there's like weird technology differences, but there's also like dinosaurs.
Yeah, there was a pterodactyl and
he spoke with like a like kind of like a Brooklyn-y voice.
But, yeah. So there was a Brooklyn Italian pterodactyl, and also you could take a little glass vial and break it open, and it would turn into a vehicle.
Yes. No, they're a little metal, like, I don't know, how would you even describe it? It's just like a little, like those CO2 cartridges.
Yeah, okay, yeah. So, like, say you wanna huff some nitrous at a Humphreys McGee concert.
Yes.
This is what you would use.
Right, and then you also huff a car.
You want to? Oh yeah. But in this world, you huff a weird 2-seat motorcycle with a glass dome over it.
Yeah, which I'm. It's currently on my T-shirt.
Yeah. So Jeremy did show up to this episode about Dragon Ball in a Dragon Ball T-shirt.
One of my Dragon Ball T-shirts.
I mean, last time you were here, you were also wearing a Dragon Ball T-shirt,
yes.
Which, you know, is alarming. And probably the hump that has kept us from acquaintance to friends.
So are you saying you didn't like Dragon Ball?
No. But no, it was less offensive of a thing than Food Wars.
Yeah.
But also so mind-numbingly boring to me.
Really?
Because it was the first episode, so literally the entire episode was like, what's this? And then they'd be like, well, you know, this is a Dragon Ball.
Yeah.
And like,
well, but so you see in the first episode, you see Goku pick up a car. You see Bulma shoot him.
Yep. Yeah. He shoots. He gets shot 3 times and doesn't die. He's the 50 Cent of Dragon Ball.
Uh-huh.
But so he had never seen a person before.
Yeah, the only other person he'd seen at that point is his grandpa Gohan, who died.
Who is dead and now his spirit is inside of a Dragon Ball.
Right. Well, so that's like one of the funniest things I think about the series is that like for most of his childhood, he continues to believe that.
Yeah.
Like,
and it's not true.
It's not true. No, there's his spirit is in the other world, which is what we later learn to be sort of like their heaven equivalent.
Okay.
Like he exists up there. We see him at some point. But like for most of his childhood, even though he sees how the Dragon Balls work, he sees it all come to pass.
Yeah.
He still continues to be like, I gotta go get my grandpa.
Yeah. So this guy is dumb as fuck.
Yeah.
He's a little fucking moron.
And this is the smartest he'll ever be.
Oh, God.
That's what's amazing about it. This is as smart
gets dumber?
Yes.
How?
I mean, he's fully retarded now.
In Dragon Ball Super?
Yeah. No, he's ridiculous. In the last episode we watched, he's going grocery shopping, and he has a list of groceries that are all just like crudely drawn pictures because he can't read.
Oh, and he's the hero.
Yes.
Of the show. Well, I guess it's the thing where it's like he's a child and then the only person he's ever seen dies.
Yeah.
And then, so he's not going to school.
Yeah, he's never seen a car.
Yeah,
he doesn't know anything.
Yeah, he thought a car was a monster.
Yes. And so also he fights all the time. He's getting so much brain damage.
Also, does he have a tail?
Yes.
This never explained.
Eventually, do you want to know what it is?
I would love to. First of all, he does sexually harass this woman.
What is he? He looks at her butt, right?
I think he touches her to try to see if she has a tail.
Oh, yeah.
But then towards the end, she tries to bribe him by saying that she'll show him her underwear. So this is way too much sexuality for this child show.
Oh, believe me. So over the course of the next like 7 to 10 episodes, in the beginning, you see Goku's penis a ton.
No, you saw Goku's penis in this one.
Oh, you did?
Yeah. Because
okay.
He was...
You see it several more times.
Yeah, he was naked for some reason.
He was fishing with his tail.
He's fishing with his tail and then trying to take a piss.
Yes.
He takes a piss in the water and then he has to fight the fish?
I guess.
It's the big fish. It's a big
one. Oh, right. And he like kicks it and it dies.
Yeah, yeah, yeah. But you see his little weird Japanese boy nub penis that is not drawn with a lot of detail, but enough to know that there's a penis here.
Yeah. But so over the course of the next few episodes, you see his penis several times.
Uh-huh.
You see Bulma's ass, and I think the next episode or the one after this one.
So you're going to have to tell me exactly which episode we see this cartoon with his ass in. Because I'm going to have to watch that one for our next episode.
Just watch the next two. You'll definitely see it.
Well, yeah, I'm going to need you to tell me exactly when and which episode it is so I can just get a screenshot and definitely not jerk off to a cartoon.
Because I think the whole plot point is that she is trying to get a Dragon Ball from this guy, Master Roshi. Who
is that, the little freaky guy they show?
He's the old guy.
He's like, has one, and he's like, the other guy's like, you need seven, you need six more. And he's like, but I already have this one.
Oh, no, that's Emperor Pilaf is who you saw,
I
think.
Yes. Oh, of course.
The little green guy, right?
Yeah, yeah, I just wrote him down as little freaky guy.
No, there's an old man named Master Roshi who becomes, like, Goku's trainer over the course of the series Dragon Ball.
Yeah.
And becomes, like, a main character. But the first time we meet him, he's got a Dragon Ball on a necklace, and she's like, hey, like, fucking give me your fucking Dragon Ball, yeah. Dude.
And he's just like, okay.
He's like, I'll give it to you if you show me your fucking underwear, you child.
Oh, God.
It's really creepy. There's some really creepy shit in the first few episodes. And then it becomes, like, a fighting show, and then there's no more of this for a very long time.
Yeah.
But, like, the first few episodes.
But does it come back?
I mean, there's definitely, like, sexual elements every so often or, like, nice. Weird things like that. But, like, in these first few episodes, it's so... so heavy-handed.
Like, yeah.
Like, you see dick. You see butt. Like, so he says, like, show me your panties. And then she forgets that she gave her panties to somebody else earlier. Oh, so when she goes to show him, sees her vagina.
Oh, okay.
But we see her from behind, so we see her butt.
Okay, all right.
They can't show a child's vagina.
That would be improper.
They can show a child's penis.
And ass. But if you show a child's vagina, you're over the line.
And then the other thing is when they finally gather all the Dragon Balls, Pilaf, the little green guy, steals them, and he's like, I'm going to wish for immortality or some shit like that. And they foil his plan when the little pig guy that they meet, Oolong, jumps in and says, I wish for panties. And they just, like, drop a single pair of panties from the sky, and it, like,
so
floats delicately to
the floor.
All of the
work for the whole series.
Yeah, all ends with just Oolong having, like, a pair of panties that he's just like, I don't even know what I'm going to do with it.
Yeah. So what's her name? Bulma.
Uh-huh.
She's introduced as driving around trying to find all these Dragon Balls because she wants to use the power of them to wish for a boyfriend.
Yes.
Which
even
is
funnier,
insane.
It's, you know what's crazier is in the original manga, she wants to wish for the perfect strawberry.
Just one strawberry.
I think she refers to it as the perfect strawberry, and then she refers to it as an eternal strawberry. I don't know what either of those means.
Yeah, I mean, that translation's not working out well for us here. I'm sure it means something.
To somebody.
To someone, somewhere.
Most likely just to Akira Toriyama, and everybody who read it was like, why?
Yeah.
You can wish for anything.
Yeah. So then to Americanize it, they're like, ooh, what do girls want? Any boyfriend.
Yeah, well, so what I think it is that she wants the strawberry at first, and then she changes her mind and goes for the boyfriend, and then in the English dub, they're just like,
who cares? Yeah,
we
don't
just
care
make it a fucking boyfriend the whole time. Yeah.
So, I know nothing of anime.
Mm-hmm.
Is this in like, the timeline of it coming to America and being dubbed? Where is the original Dragon Ball, like, in relation to anime in general coming to America?
So the original Dragon Ball, as I remember it, came out in America after Dragon Ball Z.
Oh, okay. Because, like, Dragon Ball Z is the one that I know.
Yeah, everybody knows Dragon Ball Z.
Yeah.
But that, like, it's really intense that they did it that way. It's the better series just because it's, like, so much more entertaining and, like, really intense and, like, just crazy.
Yeah, Dragon Ball Z.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Dragon Ball is more of, like, a subdued, like, I know it doesn't seem like it from this
but
episode,
no, it's
like a simple, like, adventure story,
yeah.
Whereas Dragon Ball Z is like, beams, beams, beams!
Yeah.
But so, they show Dragon Ball Z, which, by the way, the first episode of is bananas if you don't know the story, and they don't do, like, a wrap-up where they're like, hey, so there's this guy Goku, and we met him a long time ago, and he was a kid, and now he's a man, and look at this, now he's got a son. He just shows up, and he's got a son, And everyone talks to him as though they've known him forever, because they have.
Yeah.
So, like, in the first thing that American audiences saw, Goku, an adult, shows up with a kid. And everyone's like, oh, my God, that's your fucking kid? Holy shit, I can't believe you have a kid. That's insane. You shouldn't be raising a kid. This is nuts. And then his brother, an alien, crash lands on Earth, shows up, and he's like, I'm your brother. And everyone's like, he has a brother? And then they battle, and he dies, and we never see him again.
The brother?
Yeah.
Oh, God.
It's so crazy to have started the American experience from that point.
And then people were just like, yes.
Yeah, people we like bought this. In. Yeah.
Yeah.
It's all those beams, man. It's fucking rad.
Oh, man. Because I feel like, because I don't know anything about anime, but Dragon Ball Z was definitely the first one I heard of.
Yeah. It's among the biggest ones. It's between, like, arguably between that and, like, Pokemon.
Oh,
and,
yeah,
like,
I guess
Yu-Gi-Oh.
Pokemon, yeah. And what's that other one that everyone likes? Naruto.
Naruto is definitely lower.
Yeah? Okay.
Yeah. I would say the two contenders I would say would probably be Pokemon and Dragon Ball Z.
Yeah. I guess, yeah, because I watched Pokemon,
yeah,
for sure.
So, oh, so you've seen some anime?
I guess I didn't even think of it as that.
Yeah.
As anime.
Shit's Japanese as hell.
It's so Japanese. It couldn't be more Japanese. They're called pocket monsters.
What was your Pokemon experience?
I watched it. It was huge when I was in like 6th, 7th grade.
Yeah.
So I had the cards because I also played Magic the Gathering a little bit.
What?
Yeah. So I played. So this was all like stuff I did because I was in the Boy Scouts.
Yeah.
So it was like everyone in my Boy Scout troop played Dungeons and Dragons. It was like all nerds.
Yeah.
So like there was only a few cool guys, and then they were
so
like.
So many layers to you.
There is. But all the cool guys were like, when I was like 12, they were like 17. So they like left. So they like, this is you're done when you're 18 in the Boy Scouts.
I need people at home to understand this. Mike is just a garbage can.
Yeah.
Like, Mike looks like, you don't look like somebody who played Dungeons and Dragons, Magic the Gathering, and tennis.
Yeah.
Those are things I never would have thought.
But all of them I didn't play well. That's the thing, is that I mostly, like, I played Magic the Gathering because that's what everyone I was hanging out with played. So I had.
What kind of deck did you have?
Obviously black, because it was my favorite color.
Yeah, of course.
So I had a black and red deck.
Yeah.
And then I had a black and red deck, and I had a blue and white deck that I'd play with.
That's interesting.
Yeah, because I just would make them. I was like, oh, these are cool.
Yeah, I was a black and green guy.
I would change it. My black and red, I would switch to black and green sometimes. Yeah.
The black ones are the coolest ones.
Yeah, because it's all just like death. All just like, what's this one? I don't know. You die immediately because of a skull. And they're like, cool. So like I played like up through. See, this is like where I don't know as much as most people. But it's like, I remember what series was it? Tempest.
Mm-hmm.
So I remember that, and then maybe one series after that, and then I didn't go through and get new cards really, and then I kind of was gone. So I played that a little bit. I played Dungeons and Dragons a little bit.
Yeah.
But then, so kids in my school were playing Pokemon.
Right.
And I was like, okay. And I wasn't ever really a video game kid, but I ended up getting Pokemon Red.
Yeah.
For Game Boy. But like, I still had like the big gray original Game Boy, because I think it was my dad's Game Boy. And then he was just like, yeah, I'm not going to play it anymore.
Yeah.
Because my dad weirdly, like, he played Game Boy a little bit and played Nintendo, but then that was it, like original Nintendo. And you play, like, I would just watch him play Super Mario. I would just be like, that's pretty fun. That's kind of what I still do with video games now. I'm like, I would like to just watch you play the video game. Well,
watching, but you don't have an older sibling, right?
I have an older sister, but she didn't care about video games.
Okay. Well, so your dad would have been like your older sibling in this case.
Yeah, yeah.
Because that's something people always say, is like younger siblings have a tendency to like watching video games because that's just how you lived.
Yeah.
You
know? I mean, that's still like my old roommate Kyle, before he moved to LA, he had a Xbox One.
Mm-hmm.
And then I never really played, because, you know, I'd like play NBA on it sometimes, but that was it. But he would play Fallout 4. And I would just sit there and watch him play it.
Yeah.
And I'm like,
it's so much more fun. Who the fuck wants to be involved?
Yeah,
because
it seems all stressful. I'm like, yeah, no, I don't want to watch you put on a big sword or whatever and fucking hit something with it.
Yeah, you see the cutscenes. You see some shit get fucked up. You ever watch like Let's Plays?
No. I don't watch, like, I've never watched, like, I just like to do, I think it's mostly because I'm like, well, I'm already hanging out with this person.
Yeah.
And they're doing this thing.
That's the thing, yeah.
So that's what it is. It's like, I'm just hanging out with this person, and they are, like to play this video game, so I'm here for it.
Yeah, totally.
Yeah. But yeah, so I played Pokemon cards a little bit, but I never really, it was one of those, it was like, that was the same thing with Magic, where, like, I got the basics of it. But yeah. I never understood, like, real deep strategy.
Yeah, for sure.
And stuff like that. And then I played Dungeons & Dragons, but it was always, like, we would play it on camping trips, but we would always play, like, a new campaign.
Right.
Every camping trip. So we never really got into it because we'd be playing it, like, for, like, 2 or 3 nights. And yeah. And that was it. So and I'm like, why are we wasting so much time making a new character once a month? This sucks.
You didn't even reuse your character?
No, we'd have to make a new character every
That's
month.
That's insane.
Yeah.
I did...
this kid Brandon, who would always pull his baseball cap over the top of his ears, and I was like, woof. There's something wrong with this kid.
Yeah, I don't care for that.
Yeah.
I did a Dungeons & Dragons campaign once where I was trying to... I feel like we were in like a tavern scenario
yeah.
where it's just like, we're in town... get some supplies before we get out on the mission again, right?
Yeah.
And we're in a tavern, and there's, like, a bar maiden, and I'm like, oh, I want to, like, flirt with her.
Yeah.
And so I roll, and, like, my charisma was, like, already very low, and I roll a 1. And my dungeon master is like, you try to flirt, but you slip on the floor and break your ankle. Everybody had to deal with me having a broken ankle for the rest of the campaign.
That's pretty great. Yeah, I think I tried to play again. I tried to play Dungeons & Dragons again when I was maybe like 19 or 20.
Mm-hmm.
And then like quickly was like, I don't care.
Yeah, everybody goes through that phase at some point in their adult life where they're like, what if I like got into D&D now?
Yeah.
And then like, immediately you're like, no.
I'm like, oh, great. I have to learn the new rules of the 97th edition
yeah.
that it is now. It's like, when did you play? 8th edition.
And you need to know a dungeon master, which yeah. means you need to know somebody who is so unreasonably autistic that they will like
be the dungeon master. Yeah. Yeah.
Shit. What were we? We were talking.
I was talking about anime coming to America.
Right. Yeah.
And I just don't know the timeline of it.
I don't fully know it either. Yeah, okay. I remember that Z was on for a long time.
Yeah.
When I so, was
yeah, that, like, that was like the first one I knew. I think that and Pokemon I kind of knew of around the same time.
Yeah. So it would have been around for a while by the time Pokemon got here.
Okay, yeah.
Because I watched it for the first time when I was in, like, first grade.
Okay.
And back then we had what's known as the Ocean Dub. So, like, the series okay. is dubbed by a company called Funimation.
Yeah.
And that's the one that everybody, like, knows now, right? But before that, there was a series of maybe, like, 20 to 30 episodes that were dubbed by this company. I don't know if they're called Ocean or if it's, like, a reference to something
yeah.
or whatever. But it was this early dub of it that sucks. It's so bad. It's
really?
Unbelievably bad. And they would just show the same 30 episodes on repeat all the time. And so every time you'd get to just when like the main antagonist gets there and
it'd
then
be
it
done.
Starts over.
Oh God. Yeah. What is that like? Because is it American companies dubbing it or is it Japanese companies dubbing it for America?
So there's two. There's Funimation does the dubbing for America
okay.
in English and they're an American company.
Okay.
But then there's a Japanese company that I just heard about this the other day that there's a Japanese company that does English dubbing for English speaking people who live in Japan.
Oh, weird.
Right?
Yeah.
It's insane.
Because the cadence, the anime cadence is very singular.
Yeah.
And I don't understand how it
I don't know
came
why they
be.
Do it that way.
Yeah.
It really is quite annoying. I think that like they could make a better product if like voice acting was taken, I don't want to say more seriously because that's like mean to,
yeah.
to them, but like there is like a weird like high voice sort of thing that happens yeah. and they're like, I don't know what
yeah,
and
yeah.
you're like, just talk like even when you're shouting, like shout like people shout.
Yeah.
You know?
Yeah, like because there's like the way that people talk in American cartoons that is like, I think like kids shows, a lot of them kind of sound the same.
Yeah.
But like the good ones don't. But I feel like almost, you know, I don't have that much anime experience, but it's like very like the anime cadence is they're just like whoever the first person that did it kind of well.
Yeah.
They were like, well, we'll just all talk like this.
Yeah.
Like, and I'm like, I just don't.
Well, so there's two kinds of like, I'd say there's two main schools of anime dubbing cliches, right? There's the one that we're talking about that's like the really high up and
But then there's
What are you talking about?
But
then there's another one that's like for the more like dark, subdued ones where like everybody talks kind of monotone and like people are like, "Oh, what's that? Oh, I see. Oh, okay." It's like really intense. Like things like Cowboy Bebop is like that, or like Trigun. What do you?
I actually texted him.
What did you text him?
He texted me to tell me how long we've been doing.
Oh, okay.
Yeah.
I was trying. Don't worry about it.
Yeah.
Okay. Fine. Sure. So.
Yeah.
Anime in America. Okay.
Why does it happen?
Why does it happen at me
so often?
I've always felt like it's like a weird, like, I don't, like, safe haven for, like, people who have some sort of, like, outside of the standard sexuality when they're teenagers.
Okay.
Like, a lot of people who I knew growing up who were into anime ended up queer in some sense, or, like, gender nonconforming, or, like, I don't know, people with like weird fetishes and stuff like that.
Yeah, like, that is
it
like
feels
a,
like it's an umbrella that people gather under.
It's an interest. I almost said weird, but it's not. It's like I don't want to place any like weird. It's like it's an interesting Venn diagram.
Yeah,
like those two things intersecting so much.
Yeah, it's that and like punk was like that too.
Yeah.
Yeah,
I think it's just a thing that it's like because we were, you know, late 20s, early 30s, and it's like punk was not what it was in 1977 when we were into it. So it wasn't like this super fringe weird thing. It's like you could find, you know, we could go to Hot Topic and find even like, you know, good punk records that I would still listen to now. You can find
totally.
Them on Hot Topic. Uh-huh. So it's like you can go to them. So it's like it's this weird thing where it's like you're just different enough to be into this stuff, but it's still like pretty mainstream enough. And it's just like, yeah, I don't know. Just anyone who's kind of outside of that very specific like quote unquote like, you know, mainstream normal thing, you're like, oh, I guess it's like, okay, well, I feel weird, I don't know who I like, I don't know who I'm sexually attracted to, so, and it's like, I also kind of like this music, so I'll just, there's other weird people here.
Yeah,
there's other people who are kind of strange and don't understand themselves here.
Well, I remember I met somebody once, this older guy, I met him in the Village when I was in high school.
Yeah,
I was, like, leaving from a show, so I was, like, all fucking punked out and whatever.
Yeah.
And he started talking to me and my friends, and he thought that we were gay and like, talking to us about, like, being gay and how it was in the 80s when he was young.
Yeah.
And, like, telling me all this shit about, like, the Village Voice and how, like, important it used to be and stuff like that. But one of the things he told me was that punk, at that point, was, like, a real safe haven for gay people because of the fact that, like, you can hide your other weird stuff behind
being punk.
This big.
Oh, okay.
And so it became sort of like a shield where it's like, yeah, I mean, like I dress ridiculous, but like, you know, don't ask about other stuff because this is really intense.
Yeah.
And I bet anime is kind of like that too, in that sense where like, because there is like a look that people end up in who stay in anime.
Yeah.
You
have your tail that you clip onto your clothes.
Yeah.
You have your fingerless gloves in the summer.
Or your cat ears.
Yeah,
or can, yeah, all sorts of those types of things.
Yeah. Do you, this is to meld everything we've talked about on this. Do you remember the Long Island precursor to Comic-Con, ICON?
No.
The International Convention of Nerds?
No.
So, okay. So this was a con at Stony Brook University in like, I was still in high school. So this was like 2004, 2005. And we found out about it because my friends, Tony and Alex and I, we found this video of a band. This actually ties everything together. Of a band called Aerosith, which was a like band, quote unquote band, that would perform at like cons and stuff like that.
Yeah.
And they were all dressed up as like Star Wars characters and then play like like covers of popular songs, but then it was just like all of the lyrics were like clips from Star Wars. It was very, but we just were like, this is so funny.
Did they write the Star Wars Cantina song?
No, you would. But it was like, it was like, you can't, it was like they would do like a cover of you can't touch this. Like, yeah. MC Hammers can't touch this. But it was a quote, I guess, of Emperor Palpatine or someone from Star Wars saying, you want this?
Yeah.
And it was just, so it'd be like, bam, 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 bam. You want this. Just like, it was so bad, but it was so funny. We found it on MySpace, and we found out they were playing at Icon, which is
boy, it was 2004.
Yeah. So they were playing at the International Convention of Nerds, which you could only, you know, it was like expensive, but you could like, we like all tried to sneak in, or like you could volunteer to work there and get in for free, but I was like, I don't care that much. But there was an after party at a hotel, and we snuck into that.
Okay.
Which was really fun. But but this was like, so, and then they played, and then we got kicked out because they found out we didn't have our badges.
Right.
But it was literally like guys, like a guy in a Darth Maul mask and like a robe, like pretending to play a guitar that wasn't plugged in anything while like a backing track played. It was, it was the saddest thing in the world. Like a guy dressed up as like, as like one of the aliens in the Cantina band, basically. Yeah. Like, air playing the drums, but not
really.
Oh, was
it Max Rebo, the blue one?
Yeah. So there's that. But at Icon, it was like the Wild West, where it was like anime stuff, and then also like, you know, like right, like whatever pop culture, nerd stuff, but then also furries, and then also like a hentai theater, and like all this shit. So it was like all of the real like Wild West nerd shit.
Yeah.
That was like, you know, not like Comic-Con where they're just like, I don't know, we got the guy from Shameless because we could get him.
Yeah.
Where they're like, no, these are the people that are into this shit for real. It's like, you know.
Oh my God.
I don't know if they were very popular yet, but I wouldn't have been shocked if there was still a person who had a whole booth like selling those body pillows that are shaped like cartoon women.
Okay, so I have two things add to this.
Yeah.
One is that I went to New York Comic Con this year. I got a press badge for The Hard Times.
Unbelievable.
Unbelievable. Yeah. I know. It's ridiculous. We went there to make some sketches. We ended up making kind of one. and the bit was going to be that we were going around and handing out DMCA takedowns to all these people in costume.
Yeah.
Right? And being like, you don't own the copyright to this. You're infringing on copyright. Take that costume off.
Yeah.
And we didn't have any good plan for it, and we kind of just like went into it. And the first person I saw, I went up to, and he was in like a real furry costume,
yeah,
like a really intense furry costume. And I go up to him, and I start interviewing him, and I'm so uncomfortable immediately because he is talking in this voice, like this.
Oh God, yeah.
And he's like, "Hey, how you doing? What are you doing here at Comic-Con?"
What was his fursona?
Okay, so I ask him, I'm like, "Hey, we're here interviewing cosplayers about you know, just like cosplay and like, you know, what you're into and stuff, and like, so like, who are you cosplaying as right now?" And he's like, "It's an original character." And immediately I'm like, no, we're leaving. Oh, I've never had my balls shrivel up so much from hearing a voice.
Yeah, and you're like, fuck, no.
So then the other thing is that my podcast did a live episode. Leif came down with us, and we went to a comic book convention, or a nerd convention in general in Wilmington, Delaware.
Yeah.
And like what you're describing is so true to this experience, which is that when you go to like a small market convention, it's raw.
Yeah.
You know, like, yeah, you go to Comic-Con and it's like, there's a guy who's being paid to like dress up in like a Gillette outfit. Like there was a guy in like a big mech outfit at New York Comic-Con.
Oh, yeah.
With like a Gillette razor as his head.
Yeah.
And he's like there for Gillette.
Yeah.
Whereas like in the Wilmington one, there's like a woman in like sort of an Avatar cosplay, but also sort of not, where she's wearing like a blue skin suit with like some like construction paper stripes taped onto it, has a tail, and then her face is like, I don't think she used paint. I think she might have used some sort of powder that she just kind of like rubbed on her face, and it was like sort of blue, but you could see through it in a lot of places. There were patches missing.
Oh, God.
It was really raw. There was some intense stuff. We met, you remember Bulma and Vegeta.
Oh, God, yes. Guys, it was the greatest day of my life.
It was wild.
I'm getting PTSD from hearing about it. I think if I was there, I would have fully killed myself.
It was really, it took a lot to not kill ourselves. Yeah. We were running on empty for a while.
I genuinely had so much fun. It was amazing.
My favorite memory, because we went to Icon and mm-hmm. we're like trying to sneak in, but we couldn't. But I just remember being there with my friends, and we were all just like shitty hardcore kids being like, it's kind of funny to try to get into this.
Yeah.
And there were like guys there that had like full lightsaber replicas that were glass.
Yeah.
So they would have lightsaber battles, but they would both know to not touch the lightsabers because they were both made of glass.
Yeah.
And they would shatter. So there was like guys that would just walk upon each other and just be like, oh, I see what's going on here. And then like turn on their lightsaber and be like, wee. And like just like have to do a hard stop because they couldn't afford to smash their glass lightsaber replica.
Have you ever seen that one comic who's around town who has he wears a lightsaber always?
What? No. Who? He's where?
I can't remember his name, but his whole bit is that he's black and Jewish, and he calls himself like the kosher Jedi or something like that.
Oh. And
he wears yarmulke all the time. Wears a belt with Jack Skellington belt buckle. And a lightsaber hanging off the side, and always like athletic leggings.
Yeah.
Can like see his dick very, very clearly. Like, you can see
has the hog.
You can see like the ridge. Oh, it's
good.
It's a fat hog.
I gotta see this guy now. If he had a little dick,
he's got a real fat one.
Yeah,
and yeah, he's wearing these athletic pants. Jack Skellington belt that's not looped into anything because they're athletic leggings.
Oh, God. I'm trying to think if that's more offensive. It's that or like mid-2000s, like Hot Topic scene kids wearing two belts for no reason.
Oh, yeah.
The second fashion belt. I mean, also the punk version is just the bullet belt.
Or the rings.
The belt with the rings. Yeah. Because you can't put that through a pair of pants.
I had a bullet belt at some point.
I never had one.
When I was crusty and had like dreadlocks and stuff.
Mm-hmm. See, I never went that far. I was denim vest with a drop dead back patch punk, but I wasn't dreadlock bullet belt punk.
Yeah, because I've always gotten the impression that you went through some sort of like anarcho punk.
Yeah,
phase at least
a little bit. I was like,
because I feel like the first time I met you, you had like a rudimentary peni.
Yeah,
patch.
I still have that jacket. It's just the jacket doesn't really fit me. That it's like,
which is a very specific type of punk.
Yeah, so
a
I was
really
so I was very into stuff like that. I was like, pretty much like right before and when I moved to Albany, and since then is like when I was like really into like punk like that.
Yeah.
So then there was like a couple of years where I was like, oh, I'll wear this vest with studs on it. And I was like, I don't like it.
Yeah.
Like, I don't want to wear this.
Oh, God.
I don't want to be a denim vest guy.
Yeah.
I don't feel like I am.
I don't know, but I do have
that back patch, the rudimentary peni back patch.
When we did Poser Cops, did I show you my studded vest? I have a studded vest that has a Zounds patch on the back.
I think so, yeah.
And then across the top of it, it says vegan with a circle A.
You know. An anarchist vegan.
Yeah. It's so bad.
Yeah.
It's so awful.
Yeah, I don't think mine ever got... I think I just had, like, the... I had, like, my denim vest with my drop-dead back patch that I still own. It's, like, still in my closet, obviously, but, you know.
We should probably talk about Dragon Ball, right?
I mean, I feel like we talked about it. I didn't like it. It was fun. It was whatever. I just thought it was boring.
Yeah.
That was my problem with it. I think because I was thinking it would be like Dragon Ball Z.
Yeah, beams and fighting and stuff.
Yeah,
and like literally
yeah.
three or four episodes after this, like it starts kind of heating up with fighting and stuff. He learns how to do the beams maybe like 20 episodes in or so.
Okay.
He learns it from the old man I told you about earlier, Master Roshi.
Yeah.
He shows him how to do it, and then he's like, I want to learn how to do that. And he's like, you'll have to spend 50 years learning it. And then he's like, nah, I'm just going to fucking do it.
Yeah.
And he just does it, and he fucks up his car. It's great. God.
There seems to be no consequences in this show. And that's what I dislike the most. I love consequences.
Yeah, don't we all? You know?
So I love rules. I love consequences. I love people paying for their actions.
Yeah, I believe that is what Crass would sing about.
Yeah. That's kind of, you know, I'm the punk who loves rules. Unfortunately, that describes me a little too well. That's like what being straight edge is.
Yeah, basically.
You're like, I love punk, but I also love rules so much. Hey, I heard a song when I was 12 years old and I stuck to it.
Yeah, what was your intro
to being straight edge?
Yeah.
Was Minor Threat for sure.
Yeah.
Because I went to my first hardcore show when I was 12 mm-hmm. at the Smithtown VFW Hall.
Of course.
Or Knights of Columbus?
Good question.
Because there's that, okay, so there's that, this is very inside Long Island music, but there was that church in Smithtown right on the corner.
Yes.
That had shows. It was like right up the road from it.
Right.
So I think it was the Knights of Columbus Hall. But I went to my first show there, and I had, because I went with my friend Chris, who I drank with earlier.
Yeah.
Like earlier in the year. But I just like listened to whatever CDs he had. And he's like, oh, I'll bring you to this show. And I was like, cool. And then I hadn't drank since. And he was like, why do all these people have X's on their hands? And because it was like prime, I'm straight edge.
Yeah.
So this is like the year 2000.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah. Uh-huh. So, yeah, because it was the summer between 6th and 7th grade for me.
Yeah, I was going to say that would be probably about when like Kill Your Idols is really starting to
they had been around for a little bit. And it was...
Because that would be around when the red one came out, right? With the fucking scissors and stuff.
Yeah. Funeral. Is that Funeral for a Feeling?
Yeah.
Yeah.
And that's... Yeah, so that would have been like their peak of popularity.
Yeah, yeah.
That was actually...
They were one of the first hardcore bands I heard because my uncle had all these CDs that he was just getting rid of, and one of them was a Kill Your Idol CD.
Yeah.
So I just took it when I was like 11. But I remember being like, what are all these people have X's on there? And he's like, oh, they're straight edge. They don't drink, whatever. And I was like, I'm straight edge. And he's like, well, if you're... I was like, well, I don't drink. And he's like, okay. He's like, if you, you know, here's Minor Threat then listen to that. And see if... And I was like, yeah. So what I did was I printed out the lyrics of the song Straight Edge on my computer printer at my home.
As you do.
And printed it out 4 or 5 times and put one on each wall of my bedroom. So embarrassing.
That's amazing.
Yeah.
Do they do like a ritual thing like they do with skinheads? You know how skinheads have to like shave you in?
Yeah, no.
There's no like X you in sort
no,
of thing.
No, no, no. I think it's just your straight edge. And then I drank a little bit when I was like 17 for like a couple of months. And I was like, oh, I hate this.
There was a brief time where I identified as straight edge. And yeah. Then the moment somebody was like, hey, do you want to like smoke weed? It was like, yeah.
Yeah. You're like, yeah, cool. Yeah. That's how a bunch of my friends, because I was really straight edge in high school.
Yeah.
Like I would X up before I would go to school.
Wow.
Yeah. I didn't have a lot of friends. But like my friends would be like, oh, Mike's straight edge. I'll be straight edge. And then they're like, no, I'm going to drink. So they would like be straight edge for like 2 weeks just because they like couldn't get beer. And then they would drink. And then I'd be like, come on, guys. It's actually cool. They're like, okay, whatever.
Old Mikey Glass Josh.
Oh, God.
Up
yeah.
With X's to my high school. That's insane. And yeah. You didn't go to a school where like a lot of people knew what that was.
No, just my friends.
So they were like, they were like,
okay.
Cool.
I would also like fall asleep in class and just like have my hand on my face and wake up. I'd just have like permanent marker on my face.
I bet if I had gone to school X'd up, people would have thought I was doing, you remember Biff Naked?
Yeah.
She had that video where she's like going around the office, just like giving people the finger. And yeah. That's the whole thing. She's X'd up in that video.
Unreal.
And I remember that was like a very popular song at my school.
Yeah. Okay.
Moment of Weakness, that's what it was called.
Yeah, no one knew or cared why I had X's on my hands. Oh, they're just like, all right.
And oh, we've gotten so off track.
Yeah, I think this is the greatest point to wrap it up because we have gone so far away from Dragon Ball. It's crazy. You have anything else you want to add about it?
You know, fucking watch it, gang. It's a good give it a shot. You know?
I don't agree.
There's only 460, probably 80 episodes.
Yeah,
now.
That's actually good. That's actually a good amount of things to watch.
Yeah, no, it's a completely reasonable
so that's
amount
about,
of time to spend.
That's about 100 and something hours.
That's 10 days, right?
Yeah.
Because if it's 480, then half of that is 240.
Yeah.
And divide that by 24, and it's 10.
Yeah.
So 10 days. 10 solid days.
Oh, okay. That's it. You just have to watch.
And stay awake
you
for 10
stay
days.
Awake. Get some speed. Specifically trucker speed if you can.
Yeah.
Take it. And then watch 10 days worth of Dragon Ball. And then afterwards, find Dragon Ball GT and watch that.
Yeah. Give it a shot.
And then throw yourself off of a bridge.
Yeah. And while you're picking up that trucker speed, get a tire thumper. Why not?
Which is just a bat you hit people
it's
with.
It's just a bat you hit people with, and it's so cool.
Yeah. Oh, God. I hate that I knew exactly
what... You knew exactly what I was talking about.
Yeah, because they sell it at truck stops and rest stops, and it's a tire thumper. And, you know, I guess because you're not... Because you can't just be like, I want to hit people with a piece of wood if they try to steal stuff from my truck.
Apparently, it's a tax thing.
Really?
That's what I heard, is it's a tax thing. Yeah, because they'd have to tax it as a weapon if you called it a self-defense thing.
Okay.
And it's too small to be, to like, allege to be for a sport.
Yeah.
And so they say it's... So... For those at home and for Leif, who clearly is a little in the dark, tire thumper is, you'll find it at a truck stop. It's a small wooden bat, about a foot long, and it has a metal rod inside of it weight and support.
Yeah.
And then
it's pretty thick.
Yeah, it's thick. And it's got a leather strap on the back for wrapping around your wrist so it doesn't come off when you swing it at your tires.
Yeah.
Because that's what they allege it's for, is checking tire pressure. You know how people check their tire pressure by hitting their tire with a bat?
Yeah. And not just using the fucking thing that was made to show you what tire pressure is.
Literally anything but hitting it with a bat.
Yeah. Leif is blown away by the tire thumper.
This is fascinating.
Yeah.
It is.
There's so many weapons you can buy that... there's just... That's my new podcast. I'm going to talk about all the different kind of cool weapons.
That would be a good podcast.
I would, but I get to test them on the guests. That's the caveat. You come in here, I hit you with the tire thumper, or I throw a fucking ninja star at you, or I stab you with a butterfly knife.
Your only guest ever is Johnny Knoxville.
I mean, that's a dream get. I mean, he's already been shot with a gun. What? You know, just let me hit you with a tire thumper.
That was his start. That was his first thing, right?
I mean, I can't get into Jackass lore. I know so much.
I know. I do too.
Yeah. All right, so thank you so much for being here. Do you have any plugs?
Check out Ballin' Out Super. Yeah. BallinOutSuper.com, I think, is our fucking site. You know, check us out, man. Give it a shot.
It's great. I highly recommend it. It's a lot of fun.
It's a good podcast.
And I recommend the one I do, and maybe stop about 45 seconds before the episode is over. You know, just do that. Just, you know, for no reason. Just, you know, whatever.
You know, check out the Hard Times. Check out the Hard Times show. Fucking Twitter at Jeremy Thunder. You know, all that stuff.
Yeah, do all that. Follow me at Mike Abruzzi and everything. I got a website. Who cares? I made a Facebook page for this thing now. I haven't invited anyone to it yet. I got about 20 likes on it. But it's TV Casualty with Mike Abruzzi on Facebook. Go give it a like if you want.
I just picture you terrified. Like, someday I'll invite people.
Yeah, I can't bring myself to invite people to it. Because of how mad I get when people invite me to like their things.
And also, it would look sincere.
It would look so sincere. But yeah, so like that on Facebook if you want. That's it. Just, you know, this is ostensibly the Christmas episode. So let's... You know, thank you so much. Maybe give us a like or, you know, give us a rating or review on iTunes. And... You know, we'll see you next week. All right. I love you. Bye.
They can fly. It makes no sense.
It doesn't make any sense. He's like, what if this donkey to bring these magic reindeers around in the hills of Italy?
It literally, like, the only justification he gives that makes any sense is that the kids like watching Dominic dance. Which is definitely, like, they had to beat that donkey to make it dance.
Oh, yeah, that donkey got hit.
Ooh, key change!
All right, we can't listen to Dominic the donkey. All right, goodbye, everyone.
I've listened to it four times
this
week.
Thank you so much.
Welcome to BrainMachineNetwork.com.